joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, as he does each and every Tuesday on the program throughout the football season, throughout the year, is Mike Griffith from DogNation.com. He joins us now again on the Bud Light Hotline. Mike, I know that it was one of those games that even us sitting here in the studio in Birmingham did not think that it was going to end up the way it did on Saturday night. But from your perspective, what was the main reason that Alabama was able to take advantage and get the big win?
Well, I mean, great coaching, great effort, Bryce Young. I mean, Bryce Young was unbelievable. And they did it after spotting Georgia 10-0 lead, right? I mean, Georgia scores on the first play of the second quarter, it's 10-0, and you're going, well, you know, it looks like Georgia. And then all of a sudden, you know, Georgia has a bust in the secondary. Williams scores on, what was that, 57-yard play. And Bama's back in it. It's 10-7, just like that. Even though Georgia dominated the first quarter, you know, Bama makes a big play, and the confidence comes. Georgia quarterback play was not up to par. And Alabama, you know, made a great scheme and shut down Stetson Bennett. They did the same thing last year. You know, Bennett was, you know, they had 2-3 and outs in the second quarter. You know, people say, well, it's the defense's fault. Well, when you're going 3 and out and giving the ball back to Bryce Young indoor on a track surface, you know, with great receivers, we talked all year about Georgia's secondary being exploited. I said it all year long that if someone could get into that secondary, it could be trouble. And Alabama did. Bryce Young was able to buy enough time, call the right protections. The Alabama offensive line, you know, grew up, played extremely well, took advantage of a Georgia scheme, and they made plays and gained momentum. And then when Georgia had opportunities in the third quarter, they had 2 red zone trips come up empty. Bennett was intercepted once and turned the ball over on down once. And, you know, I've said it before, you got to have great quarterback play. And Alabama did, and Georgia didn't. And sometimes it's going to be a shootout. And the better team won. Alabama was better than Georgia.
Mike, what, if any, explanation have you gotten from Kirby Smart or those or anyone on the coaching staff with what appeared to be, watching the game, a lack of adjustments there at halftime or throughout the game with what Alabama was doing to the Dogs?
Well, I mean, Alabama, what, they scored 1 offensive touchdown in the second half. Is that right? They had a pick six, a field goal.
Correct.
Came off a turnover. So 10 points came off turnover. So really, the Georgia defense did adjust. And in fact, if I were going to nitpick, Alabama didn't run the clock out real well. They gave Georgia plenty of opportunities late in that game, surprisingly. You know, I thought it was big that Brian Robinson played. You know, when I picked Georgia to win by 10, 2 of the reasons I picked Georgia to win by 10, and I'll admit, I was wrong. 1, I didn't think Brian Robinson was going to play. I thought when he pulled that muscle against Auburn, I said, boy, you're down to Trey Sanders, and that to me was going to be a big drop-off. I thought that Alabama was going to have to do just enough in the run game to neutralize the Georgia pass rush, which they did. And 2, I thought Kirby would be willing to go to the bench and make a quarterback change if it was needed. I felt like JT Daniels was a card he had up his sleeve. And JT is an explosive passer. I mean, I don't know if everybody got amnesia, but the guy was really good last year. In fact, he had the highest quarterback rating the final 4 games of the season of all the quarterbacks coming back. I think Mack and one of the other quarterbacks that were drafted were the only 2 better than him the last month of last season. And the whole offseason was built around JT and, you know, this explosive offense that you hired Todd Monken for. But when Pickens went down and Jermaine Burton was injured and the big tight end Darnell Washington, you know, and then JT was injured, you know, Georgia had to kind of change it up and go with this walk-on and more of a run game. And they won with it. And it turned out it was fool's gold because they were beating teams like Charleston and Georgia Tech, and, you know, they got a big jump on Arkansas, and the defense, when the defense is out there giving up 7-10, you know, points, you don't really ask your offense to do a lot. You can be patient, just kind of hammer it and take advantage of good field position from your defense. But you run into a team like Alabama that can score points, and now you say to the offense, okay, we need you. And the offense wasn't there.
And I guess, Mike, specifically, that's where I was kind of going. It was more on the offensive side of the ball. And I know you've tried to kind of pick through it and figure it out for yourself, but I know Georgia fans have to be asking the question, what is the hang-up? What has JT Daniels done?
We've been picking through it the last month and a half since JT's been healthy. He was the number one at the start of the year. Why wasn't he the number one when he got healthy? I mean, and we're not just talking about, these two guys are pretty close. No, we're talking about the guy that Kirby Smart had fourth on his depth chart going into last season. Not me, not you. Kirby Smart had Stetson Bennett fourth on his depth chart. What changed? Stetson lost to Florida and Alabama last year. He was injured against Florida, but against Alabama, he had 3 interceptions and 5 passes batted down in 2020. This year, he had 2 interceptions, 3 sacks, and turned the ball over on downs twice. The question is, does Kirby Smart stick with Stetson Bennett and think that he will beat Alabama if he gets a third chance?
In regards to that, I mean, I know it's just highly speculative because they haven't been on the practice field. I know he's out recruiting, doing other things with the Georgia program right now, getting ready for early signing day. But is the expectation of the people that you talk to that they'll readdress or look at the quarterback situation moving forward?
There's no expectation. Kirby doesn't answer to anybody. He's not transparent. Practices aren't open. There's no expectation. Kirby said it after the game that Stetson played really, really well. Said he made some really good throws, and then he said to put it on him would be wrong because they got to get better in other areas. Said he had the utmost confidence in Stetson, and then he said he also had confidence in JT Daniels. Now, the question is, and I raised this yesterday on the SEC Network, how do the players respond? Do the receivers go to the leadership group? Does the leadership group go to the head coach? Do the players say, we want JT Daniels back? If the players tell the head coach that, the head coach usually responds. Kirby's a player's coach. But watching Nick Saban outcoach Kirby Smart, I mean, I didn't think that happened in 2018, by the way. I thought in 2018, Georgia lost a key player in DeAndre Walker, and Hurts came off the bench and exploited a backup that didn't contain. I thought Georgia had the game plan in 2018. I thought they had the game plan in 2017, too. But, again, fantastic play by Tua and Devontae, but two special players. Gene Stallings always used to tell me when I covered Alabama that most games come down to 4 or 5 plays. And I agree. You think about the game the other night, that 67, that pass that Alabama had, that 67-yard pass on that broken assignment. Man, what a momentum swing that was, right? Georgia not converting on that 4th and 10 at the 19 instead of kicking that field goal to get points. Another momentum swing. You guys could probably pick out 2 or 3 more plays, but, Alabama had the players making the plays in that game. And I'll pose this question to you. If Stetson Bennett and Bryce Young traded places, would Georgia have won?
I
think they would have.
I would have loved to have at least seen it.
I don't think there's any question.
I want to know. Look, fans are fans, Mike, and you engage with them in doing what you do in covering the team. But with this particular Georgia team, given the history and the track record of the head-to-head with Kirby and his former boss and mentor, Nick Saban, where's the level of frustration, negativity, backlash, however you want to label it, with the Georgia fan base towards their head coach right now after what happened on Saturday versus other losses that they've had in the past?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of exasperation. I think it's, like I wrote last week, And somebody put it on Old Takes Exposed, and I'm kind of like, why? I wrote Kirby Smart's got Nick Saban right where he wants him. He did. He absolutely did. This is an Alabama team that lost 6 first-round picks. This is an Alabama team that gave up 36 sacks in the regular season, 7 the week before. It was an Alabama team with the beat-up running backs room you know, Robinson played, but I don't think he was 100%. You know, this was not Nick Saban's best Alabama team. In fact, I would argue it was maybe one of his worst.
I agree with that.
And so Kirby, and this was Kirby's best Georgia team, defensively, certainly. Historically dominant defense. You had to go back to 1986 Oklahoma to find a team that gave up fewer points per game than Georgia did on defense. So Kirby did have Nick Saban exactly where he wanted him. That's fact. So you want to put that on Old Takes Exposed? Go for it, because that's the truth. The second part of the story, though, was that Nick Saban outcoached him, and that Kirby didn't adjust, as you said. He didn't, you know, that card up his sleeve, he didn't play it. I thought he would. I thought, you know what, even if things go bad, the difference in this game and the reason why I was wrong and picked Georgia was I said, you know, if something goes wrong, Georgia has more options. There's more things that Kirby can do with his offense. He's got, you know, deep receivers. He's got four running backs. He's got all these receivers. He's got three tight ends. He's got offensive linemen falling out of the sky. And he's got this five-star quarterback that's 7-0. You know, the last time he started a game, he left. It was 35-0 in the first quarter against Vanderbilt. Last game he started, last time we saw him start a game, he was 9 out of 10 with a drop pass. It was perfect. That's the last time we saw him as a starter. So I'm thinking, well, even if things go sideways, Kirby's got a heck of a plan B here. I'm also thinking that this Alabama offensive line that gave up 7 sacks, surely, you know, they can't pass protect well enough. Surely Georgia will have some pressure package. They didn't bring it. It was amazing. It was, and I think that it was exasperating. Last year, Alabama was a better team. No hands. It was 24-20. Georgia was leading at halftime, and I said, ain't no way they're going to beat Alabama. I said going into last year's game, there's no way that Alabama's going to get beat by a walk-on quarterback. And it's 1 year later, and listen, the Bennett kid's done a good job. He's a good person. He's extremely well-liked, popular with his teammates. But at the end of the day, you know, you are what you are. And to ask Stetson Bennett to out-duel Bryce Young, I don't think that's fair to Stetson Bennett.
Good stuff. Mike Griffith, DogNation.com and the AJC. Mike, we appreciate it, and we will be talking to you next week.
I look forward to it, guys. Have a great week.
You as well. Mike Griffith, Shooting It Straight on the Bud Light Hotline.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.